1.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Happy Monday afternoon to you. This is Robin, kind of wondering how the day is going to go because I have a ghost in my machine, which isn't so bad except the ghost likes to get up early in the morning and play with the disc drive, the CD drive, you know. I think it wants a cup of coffee or something. Who knows? Hi, Cliff.
Try putting your cup of coffee in there and see if that slows it down at all. You never can tell.
Never can. The thing is, there's actually been people that have actually done that, put coffee on that thing.
Well, I don't know. I've had a problem with my computer this morning, too. Just all of a sudden, it'll be going along and then just decides to quit and not shut down the machine. It just shuts down the page that I'm on and goes back to the good old black screen, and I have to bring it back up again. So if I just disappear and go away, I'll be back. Never fear.
Okay. Well, see, one of my theories is that, now, I mean, granted, this is just a... you know, straight out of sci-fi, but who knows, you know, like the old thing where a programmer working for a company and they have the computer randomly checked to make sure their name is still on payroll. If not, weird things happen. Who's to say that as much as we rely on Microsoft products, that something isn't in there, that, you know, Bill Gates retires or dies or something like that, that, you know, with all the automatic updates that we just blindly allow, you know, if something, I guess I'm saying, if something happened to the Microsoft software, no matter which version it is, that the world would just stop as we know it.
Well, that's where Bill Gates is actually quite a decent guy, because he hasn't had control of the company for years. He's been out doing various and sundry things on his own, and had his own money that he gives away, and he also gives away other people. Other people have granted him the money to give away to different places. So he isn't controlling Microsoft much anymore. I'll have to give him credit. He's one of these people that realizes that you don't try to micromanage everything. You just give it to your people and show them how to do it and then let them do it. And he has been a real advocate of that for a long time. And that's good.
Yeah, but that could be scary, too, because, you know, who knows what's going on? I mean, you're from the larger the ladder in the chain of command, the more, if you don't have, you know, really good checks and balances in place, the more chaotic it could be. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's so much stuff, unlike the old DOS days where it was just so simple. I mean, there's so much going on in the background, especially in Windows computers. You don't know what's going on. Then, of course, they sometimes the programmers will sneak in little Easter eggs. You know, if you hit the right combination of keys, it'll come up with pictures of the programmers or you know, one of them, I think it was Excel in the Office 2000 version. You could actually fly around on the moon.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting that you bring that up, that little things are concealed in the programs. I think there's probably huge things concealed in the programs that we don't know about. A lot of them have to do with what's on our computer and how to get it off and get into somebody else's computer. But I don't really care. I don't have anything on my computer that I really care about. I don't keep my finances on my computer, or at least not on a computer that actually goes online, ever. I mean, the computer that I have that has my finances on it can't go online. It won't go online. It ever, never, never go online. And I just, nothing is on my computer that I care about if anybody sees it. So no big thing.
Yeah, I've got one or two of those that are that way too. But anyways, despite the computers, and speaking of, and we don't want to put down the computer god too much because they could drop us on this program very quickly. Do this program, 646-721-9887. Join us right now, do it, on the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. Emails, go to talk@krbnradio.com. We've gotten some really good emails lately. Again, you know, thank you so much, and we do appreciate them. Keep them coming. And, of course, our webpage at krbnradio.com. And this program is, by the way, partly sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. As Cliff would say, make your dog dance with Dancing Dog Cookies, although that's not their slogan, but Cliff likes them, and he does a pretty good jingle himself.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancing Dog Cookies, available in select stores in Lane County, Oregon, are available online at www.dancingdogcookies.com. And as Cliff would say, check page number 2.
Absolutely, because that's the only place you can buy the cookies. You can look at all kinds of things, and you can look at all kinds of dancing things and all kinds of pictures, and just sit back and enjoy yourself for a little trip down dog lane,
dog,
I guess. But
dog,
the only place you can buy the Dancing Dog Cookies is page 2.
Yeah, they are reworking their website, so the things take time. So dancingdogcookies.com. A few things on the list we're going to talk about. Cliff wanted to touch a little bit on the new iPhone 5 and what's going on with that. The presidential debates are coming up this Wednesday, I believe. And
yes,
there's some issues going on with that, as well as some well, we aren't really going to get too much into it, but I just wanted to briefly touch on MSNBC and some of the games that they're playing and other fun stuff. Plus, your phone call, 646-721-9887, especially if you got something that you'd like to add to the program. And I also would like to kind of point out, too, that if you are in the chat room and you are signed in as guest, unfortunately, all you can do is just read what's going on. But you can sign up for a free Blog Talk Radio account just by going to blogtalk.com and just make up a username or whatever, and that way you can participate directly in the chat rooms. I do wish Blog Talk would change that. But,
it's because they don't actually have to identify themselves or anything about them. They can just, everything can be fake, and just sign up and say hi, and then you can talk to us. We'd like to do that. That's kind of what we're here for.
We like to talk. Yes, that's why we have thousands and thousands of people that tune in to us every week.
That's right. We do.
We do, to hear what we have to say. Legal dead air.
Shows you what we have to say, doesn't it? Excuse me. I was trying very hard to cough, and I'm not making it very well. I have a little bit, something in my throat this morning, other than what's normally in my throat, which is coffee.
Did you want to touch on the iPhone 5 real quick?
Well, we can. I found it it's interesting because Apple is usually pretty good about testing things out before they get them put out there, I think. At least they have been, I think, in the past. But, boy, are they really screwing up on this iPhone 6 or 5. Or it seems to be operating system 6 and iPhone 5 or something. It's a combination, and it's got me confused because I don't use iPhone so much or Apple anything much. But they've had a major problem with maps on this particular phone system.
Okay, I think I'm back, but I'm not sure. Okay, I can't tell if I'm back or not. Skype dropped out on me. I guess that's what I get for, making a comment about the computer god. Cliff, are you still there? Okay, I guess Cliff dropped off too. But that's a wonderful thing about technology when you rely on it. And again, depending on who you are talking about, you know, but as we're waiting for Cliff to kind of dial back in as well, it's kind of interesting that because we're conferencing on Skype and we're calling directly into Blog Talk Radio on two different lines, that both of us dropped at the same time, so it could just be a Skype error altogether instead of just sometimes just Skype will just die out, and that's been happening the last couple of weeks, but usually it happens right exactly at 2 o'clock. So according to the monitor, at least I'm still on the air. Cliff will hopefully get dialed back in here pretty quick. And but in the meantime, the point that he was trying to make about the iPhone 5 was that the Google Maps application, which was not included, I don't know that much behind it or the reason for it, but I do know that a lot of the people are complaining that the iPhone 5 did not include Google Maps. Cliff, are you there?
I'm down here, I guess. I'm not sure what happened. This may be my demise. It's just disappearing for some reason or other.
Well, anyway, Skype dropped me just as at the exact same time, too. So I think it was the Skype network. It just dumped everybody.
Oh, well, welcome back. As the whole saying goes. How interesting.
And, of course, the ghost of my machine keeps opening and closing the CD drive.
this thing with the apps thing on iPod, the maps are a problem. But also another problem that they're coming up with is bandwidth. It's using up the bandwidth. In other words, it'll use up your entire bandwidth in like 4 or 5 days and leave you with nothing for the rest of left for the rest of the day. So there's quite a bit of on the internet talking about that as well. So it's a major bug. I'm not sure how to explain that. It's got to be. I don't know if I have to explain it because Steve Jobs isn't there. Maybe he was the real stickler for making things work. Now they'll just, like other companies, they put things out there and let them test them out on site, and I don't like that system. That's an old Microsoft weapon. They put this entire operating system out there and let you make the repairs, right, and make complain about something, and then they fix it, and that's the way they did their thing. I don't think they're doing that much anymore. As a basic rule, most of the Microsoft stuff works when they get it out there most of the time. Of course, anything that you get, these operating systems are huge. I mean, they're just absolutely huge, and I think they're still working on getting the bugs out of them by the time they put them out on the market.
Well, I agree, but it's just like, you know, Scotty from Star Trek, the more complicated you make the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the works. And you're right, sometimes they also just try to roll things out really quickly to meet the arbitrary deadlines or you know, to try to, you know, catch the market, like, say, for Christmas or whatever. And the problem is these programs have gotten so large and so integrated, whatever, that, it's real easy to overlook things or to, you know, like get one syntax wrong or whatever, it can mess up a whole program.
Well, like you were saying earlier when we were talking off the air, actually, these huge programs, I mean, they're so big. I mean, you've got an operating system that is compressed on a CD. It may only take one CD, but when you compress the CD, you've got, you know, 7 or 8 megabytes worth of information on there. You don't need that much information to just simply run an operating system, I don't think. So I think there's an awful lot of stuff on there that we don't know what it is. We don't know what's on there. And I don't even think people the people who build the program, that particular program, probably know what it is, but nobody else does it. I mean, you can sit there and look at it, and there's just such a huge amount of information that's on that to make that program run that I think a lot of it is probably not necessary, and who knows what it's doing. My computer sits there all day long. If I leave it on all day long, I don't with mine as a general rule. But when I leave it on and it's not doing anything, it's sitting there totally just running nothing but a blank screen. And it'll sit there and just the hard drive will just go like mad. I mean, it'll work its little butt off and for minutes and minutes and minutes, and I don't know what it's doing. You know, it's supposedly cleaning things up or fixing things or adjusting things or I don't know what it's doing, but it's not something I've told it to do, and it does it a lot. And so I'm sure there's got to be other things in there that we don't know about that the computer is busy doing all by itself, gathering information or putting on information or whatever. But as long as I don't see it on my computer, I don't care. I don't care. I know there's a lot of stuff there that I don't see.
No, I totally agree. In fact, as far as complicated, I'm an old DOS person, and you know, one of my programs I loved to program in was BASIC. Very simple. I mean, it was a little bit slower compared to today's standards, so you went through an interpreter. But what was nice about it is if you wanted to print your name on the screen, all you had to do is just go print, in quotes, what you wanted to print, and you can do it all in one line. To do something similar in JavaScript or one of the newer languages, you had, you know, 5 or 6 codes of line that you had to do to accomplish the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, things have gotten more difficult and more acknowledged. They're significantly bigger as far as making things work, but they do more. In other words, it doesn't just do one little thing. It probably does 6 things at the same time that it's trying to do what you're asking it to. The problem is what are those 6 things? We know that one of the 6 things is to print your name. But what are the other 5 things that it's doing in the process? And are they necessary? And I don't think they necessarily are, except that they're there to, you know, just because you want to print your name, you know, it's anticipating what you want to do with it. You may want to use it to do something else, and it puts it in position or something to do that. So the programs are anticipating what you want to do or what you're going to want to do. 90% of the time, they're wrong, but they're still anticipating it, and so they've got to be prepared for whatever it is that they're wrong about.
Well, like you say, and what's going on in the back room, who knows? You know, I used to work for a company that produced antivirus software, and there's a whole bunch of things that can go on in the background that is hidden from the user, like keyloggers and other little viruses. In fact, according to an article from the Daily Caller, this one is today, actually, Department of Justice, domestic phone, email, internet surveillance of Americans skyrocketed under Obama, saying that it has increased 60% from 23,535 to 37,616, from according to information obtained by the ACLU through the Freedom of Information Act request. So,
thank you, Bob.
Like I say it.
How many phones and different systems there are out there? That's such a small, minuscule number that it's not even funny.
Well, that's true, but the thing is, it's just like I can't remember what the name of the bug was, as in the smartphones that got discovered, where it was tracking your usage, but or tracking where you were going, basically. But people didn't know about it, of course, until somebody hacked it and found it. But these, especially smartphones, because smartphones are basically small computers, can do just about well, anything a computer can, and so easy to hide stuff in it.
Yeah.
Like I say,
they're probably still doing all of that stuff, in fact, even more. And there's probably hundreds and hundreds of things that they're doing that we don't know about. The phone is so much easier. It's easy to put it in a computer that's based in one place and doesn't move around, but we don't use the computer for nearly as many things as we do our phones. And nowadays, the phone is being used for everything. I mean, a phone is an all-inclusive. We watch a television on it. We talk to each other on it. We communicate with each other text-based on it. It's just amazing what we're expecting a phone to do nowadays. It's baffling to me that they can convince them to do all these things in that small piece of information. And watch what's going to happen. What's going to happen is your phone is going to be I think it already is. It's going to be a little tiny computer that's based or connected to an online computer at all times to do all the things that it's supposed to do. So it's just initiating the beginning of these things, and then they're all finishing themselves up online. This is called cloud computing. I mean, everything is going to be on the cloud. And so anybody who thinks for even a half a second that anything you say or do on that phone or computer is secure in any way, you've got to be out of your mind.
Well, that and how many people think about putting an antivirus program on your cell phone. But you're right. The some of the smartphones now do have a docking mechanism that you can just plug it in and it goes to a full screen and full keyboard and printer. And basically it's the computer you can take with you. But again, the dangers of the whole thing, you know, just like a regular computer, you know, you got to have your antivirus and just be careful.
Well, how many people nowadays are putting their entire hard drive online? They've got a backup system that's an online backup system, so they're just putting their entire hard drive. I mean, you're burying everything you have out there. You're committing it to everyone. Anybody can break into these things. You look, you watch television, you've got to figure that the hacking is one of the major things that happen in the world nowadays. That's the biggest burgeoning operations job is hacking. If you want to be if you need a good job, just become a hacker. You can do that.
Well, I totally agree with you. Now, I still don't like the cloud. Unfortunately, you know, I use Trend Micro for my internet security, and they recently went to the cloud and they're forcing everybody to go to it. Like Cliff pointed out, there's backup services, there are other services, but see, this is my objection to it. Once it leaves your computer, you lose control over what happens to it.
Okay, my proposition is this. Everything you've got leaves the computer because you don't know what the computer, like I was saying, is doing when you're not using it, when you're not asking it for to do things. And that's one of the things that slows your computer down is because it's doing probably a dozen things that you don't know about, and it's passing that information along to the cloud. So everything you've got is on the cloud. So unless you have a computer that never reaches the internet or can't reach the internet, not hooked up to the internet, everything you've got is on that cloud, I think.
Well, here's a scenario for you. Now, as Cliff knows my background, you know, I've worked with some pretty good technology, including, you know, in the industrial field and as well as working with robotics. And even though I'm a technophobe and I love to keep up with the technology, I also don't want a robot in my house. And the other night is a good example of it. Granted, this sci-fi thing. About 3 in the morning, you know, I'm sound asleep and I'm woken up by this noise. And I think, oh, God, I got a mouse in the house. You know, so I'm searching around, you know, and getting ready with my broomstick to go battle mice, and I'm looking for little clues. I don't see anything, and over in the corner, I hear this whoosh, whoosh. It's like, what the hell? And for no reason at all, my CD drawer just starts opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing. So now, and I got to think. Well, I got to think. Apply this to like if robots were commonplace, and there is something, little buggy thing in it that you know, can cause it to do something that's unexpected.
Yeah, absolutely. And they keep saying, well, you know, the main thing is they'll build computers or you build robots that can't hurt you. But the thing is, if they're not operating properly, if they're making they're operating on an error, that whole idea of them not being able to hurt you is out the board because they're doing things they're not supposed to do.
Well, I agree. In fact, we had 10 robots that were designed. They were called automated guided vehicles, and their job was to pick up units from one station and deliver it through another and sometimes go through a clean room. I learned how to become a pretty good wall plasterer thanks to these little vehicles because sometimes they think, oh, here's the door. Oops. That's not the door.
You know, want to know what's scary? Now we're going to have automobiles that can operate themselves, that drive themselves, that you just go in and sit down and tell it where to go. And that scares the hell out of me. I mean, you're going to get in there. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know how you're going to end up. You don't know if you're going to end up and in how many pieces you're going to end up in. I mean, that's just scary to me. I don't care how they do it. You do have a computer that's that involved that it can literally drive your automobile. And supposedly, I know, 99% of the time, you will get where you want to go. And you'll get there with no problem, and everything else will be just dandy. But that 1% of the time, we're going to have people splattered all over the world.
Exactly, because you know you can't do every or think of every scenario, especially you know if you think about just driving down the street, just going around the block, how much information you have to take in, how much variables. But just like one other variable too that we should consider, and that's the phone number 646-721-9887. If you'd like to give us a call on this or any other topic that you'd like to talk about, we are going to touch a little bit on the debates. But I also have, and we haven't done this in quite a while, a what the heck segment.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, and this week's award goes to, I guess, people that like computers and games, since we're kind of talking about that. As thanks to the digital age, that'd be the, like, you know, 21st century stuff, you know, and crazy computers. It is now being considered that internet addiction to be classified as a mental illness, according to the DSM-IV manual coming out in the 2013 edition. The I can just see Cliff biting at the finger.
God.
According to RTNews.com, the term for this disorder is basically mental illness. Psychologists believe that the internet addiction should be categorized like any other addiction disorder that is similar that has similar symptoms, including emotional shutdown, lack of concentration, and withdrawal. The inclusion demonstrates that there are risks imposed on the use of the technology, which could lead to a former diagnosis of the disorder in the future. The examples of the phenomena that have bordered on insanity include the 2009 incident for which a 17-year-old in Ohio shot his mother and injured his father after they confiscated his Halo 3 video game because they feared that he was playing it too much. In another incident, a gaming addict died after playing an online video game for 40 hours straight in an internet cafe in Taiwan.
Probably because of their food and nothing to do with the internet game. Such horrible food there that they were serving. You know, that's I don't know how to even reply to this because it's so absurd. It's so insane. I think I personally would classify the people who came up with this as totally addicted to weirdness because this is, you know, that, under that circumstances, we should have classified people who read books, because there are people who read books to the extent that they exclude everyone and everything, and they don't classify them as insane or stupid or anything else. I mean, this is just ridiculous. The internet is a tool. And it can be used as a good tool. I mean, people who play games, whether they play them on the internet or whether they play them separately, or whether they go out and play basketball to excess, because basketball is something that can be played to excess at all times. Football, same thing. They should be people. You can't do that. You just can't classify these things as you can't. So there.
Well, see, I would think of taking it because, you know, somebody's going to try to get money out of this somehow. And I think that if you want to classify anything, how about the fact that I got this document I got to really get out right now, and all of a sudden this pop-up comes up and says, this program has encountered an error and must be shut down. And your document goes bye-bye. It's like, what?
Well, that's one of the things that I keep preaching. Anybody that has any connection to a computer, save, save, save. I don't care every 5 minutes, every 2 minutes, whatever. Save it, because that way you won't have near as much to go after later on and lose. I've been in positions where I was doing a job where I was working, and it was a fairly important job. It was in the aircraft industry, and I spent all day working on a particular thing, and the computer shut down and lost it, and I lost all day's work, and that was huge. That was a lot of money that was involved in that, and I learned then and there that from now on I save everything constantly, and that's what you've got to do, is you've got to save it. And even to the point of if you're going to be using the computer to do something that's important, or to do something even if it's not important, if you want it, just hang on to it, just save it, and it's just not the computer by itself. I mean, there's a lot of things people do. I mean, people can be addicted to eating, addicted to cooking, addicted to horse riding. That's not so much anymore, but you used to be. For that, you know, and to somebody should come up with an addiction to guns. Could be addicted to guns.
Cars used to be an addiction before they got to the point that you couldn't modify them or personalize them.
Well, they still are addiction, I think. You can be addicted to absolutely anything just because some people say it's good. Some parts of society say certain things are good, and some parts of society say that same thing is bad. So that depends on our society or what society you're in, or how your society, you know, what religion you belong to, as to whether it's good or bad or an addiction. That's so. That just, you can't use that. You can't do that. You just can't do that and be legitimate about it.
Well, and besides touching on that car comment just a moment ago, it used to be, I put in a Hemi overhead cam, you change the timing, do whatever. Nowadays, it's, I change the chip.
That can make believe me, knowing which chip to change and where to put it, I don't want to go into that because I just had a major problem. We just spent the entire week almost working on the vehicle. It depends on who you take it to who can fix it, because nowadays nobody is a guru in all of the parts of the vehicle. And this was it turned out to be an electrical part. We took it to our next door neighbor mechanic, who is a very, very good mechanic. And he replaced this and replaced that. We spent $200 on the car and didn't get it done. Basically, to make a long story a little bit shorter, we ended up three people later, we took it to an electronics mechanic. And he spent an hour fixing it and sent it back to me, and it cost me $60. Now, mind you, not before he had already spent $300 on it to try to get the same thing fixed. But he knew what he was doing. But to even decide who to take it to get it fixed is really a problem nowadays. It's really ridiculous. Cars are becoming very difficult to do things with. that's I like the old ideas. There used to be the day when you could hook connect a computer to a plug in your car, and it could tell you what was wrong with it and how to fix it, or at least nowadays we should have plug into the computer thing, plug in your car, and it would at least tell you who to take it to. But it's just insane nowadays.
Well, like I say, the more complicated you make the plumbing, just like this one here, if you know, and you can check out this plumbing by dialing 646-721-987. Got to keep throwing that in. I want to kind of switch gears and talk a little bit about the upcoming debate. And some of the, what I'm going to recommend before we get too heavy into it is just kind of, this has been the weirdest presidential election that I can remember. And it's been plagued with a whole bunch of, you can't trust the media anymore. I mean, I can't remember the first one, whether it was MSNBC or another one, but they've been doctoring the videos. Of course, that was on the Trayvon Martin case, and they got caught for doing that. Most recently, MSNBC doctored the audio on a rally, Romney-Ryan rally, where they were cheering on, the crowd was cheering Ryan, and Mitt Romney says, no, Romney-Ryan, and then they just went dark as far as the audio goes, and you know, I'm surprised they just didn't throw in crickets chirping. But the whole point where I'm going with all this is that it's a very weird, the whole election is weird. It's like people are mesmerized about what's going on, including we're seeing like in 2008 there was this deal about the Obama money, people waiting in line to get their free Obama money, and now it's the free Obama phone, you know, this lady screaming, I got my free Obama phone, I'm going to vote for Obama, Romney sucks. And when you dig back into the truth of that program, it was a program started by the federal government in 2008, and it's part of a program that if you look on your bill, I forget how much it is now, but it used to be like, you know, 65, 95 cents that you're paying into a fund, help support poor people, and somebody just dubbed it the Obama phone. And of course, you know, there are people that are going, hey, I got my free phone, I'm going to vote for Obama. Well, that's, I guess the thing that really bothers me about that is that, you know, people are voting for their own self-interest instead of the interest of the country.
Well, what's happening is anybody that's listening to Obama, if you have any, I don't want to insult people, but if you're thinking and you're paying attention, 90% of what Obama says is a lie. And if you believe what he's saying is a lie, the lies that he's saying, then you're going to think he's the answer to everything. He does everything for you. Everything that's good comes from Obama, where in reality he's just taking it. He's taking advantage of absolutely everything. He's saying it's all his fault, whether, you know, everything that's good or not, he did for you. And in reality, he didn't do any of it, hardly any of it. He's sat around and done virtually almost nothing for the entire time he's been in office. What is going to be interesting? I'm really looking forward to these debates, because now the third one is a Wednesday, and it's really too bad that it's too bad our program isn't on Thursday, so we could discuss it immediately afterwards. It's going to take us a week to get to it and discuss what took place. But the simple fact is, what's going to take place? I don't, you know, we've been spinning the different networks and news forces have been spinning the idea of who's best, who can do debating better, who is a gooder debater, a better debater. Well, let's put it that way. And neither one of them are that good. I mean, the people who are good debaters are not going to be in the debate. So consequently, we're going to be out of luck. But the two that are debating are about equal, I think, as far as what they can do. And Obama has probably got the slight edge at this particular time as being a debater. But I don't know that he's any slicker than what he has to say than Romney. The problem is that Obama doesn't worry about whether what he's saying is true or not. He'll just say anything and doesn't care if it's true or not. And I do believe, myself personally, that Romney has more of a conscience, shall we say. He does care more about whether what he's saying is true or not, or verifiable or not. And so I'm a little, it's just going to be interesting to see who does what and see how much Romney has been coached to make his answers fit the questions or fit the situation. I know that Obama will do so very nicely because he'll have, you know, it doesn't make any difference what the question is. He'll have an answer, whether it's right or not or true or not. That doesn't make any difference either. So it'll be interesting to see how Romney comes out of this thing myself, I personally think.
Well, I agree. And like I say, the double check your information. There's a lot going on, a lot of power at stake, and people are going to say and do everything. And it's just even questioning the polls. I mean, in our own little poll, person, you know, my man on the street type of thing, hey, who do you vote for? I'm very seldom find it. Yeah, an Obama supporter. In fact, I wish I had the audio for it. That there was a man on the street, I think it was Howard Stern that actually did it, that they went to, they were asking people, like, are you going to vote for Romney because he's black? Do you think Sarah Palin will do better running this time? And people are just like, yeah, man. Hey, it's really great. So.
Well, that's true. We have so many people who, when we take these people out on the street that ask questions, who ask questions that are just totally absurd, and people are not paying attention. People are not paying attention to what they're saying at that moment. They're not paying attention to what's happening in time. They're not. People just don't care, and we're getting close to the time where people are going to have to care. We're going to this first debate is going to be an interesting one to watch because we're going to be shaking things up, shall we say. But it's going to be real interesting to see what the last debate is, the very last presidential debate and the very last vice presidential debate. So, and I think that's probably 3 and 4 on the list of debates that are going to be coming up. It'll be real interesting to see what happens because right after that is when most of us, the majority of us, are going to end up going out and voting. It's not very long, folks. It's just a matter of a few days before we're going to have to make up our own opinion and make up our own mind. So when you're going to watch these debates, do a little research first. Do a little bit of questioning of yourself first. And maybe even write down the answer to the questions that are given to the questions in the debate, and then go back and look it up and see what who's right and who's wrong and who's telling the truth. That's the thing you need to do because that's the thing that'll really sway who you're voting for. I'd my personal opinion is I would vote for the person who answers truthfully, not the person who just gives up any answer he can come up with.
I totally agree with that, and both candidates have a track record now that you can look up, including Obama. You know, and thanks to the internet, it's very easy to check on their track record. Do not go solely by the headlines or by what one news service says. And same thing, don't just trust what they say on their own websites. You know, do your own research. And then ask yourself, how's the last 4 years been for you? And take a look at everything that's been promised. And now, granted, you can promise everything in the world, but it doesn't mean that they can actually do it. But take a look at where things are going. Take a look at where your country's at. And, again, you know, don't ask, what was it John F. Kennedy used to say? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Because you have to kind of think about it in those terms. Is that, I mean, sure, everybody would love to just kind of sit at home and collect, have money come in, not have to worry about the responsibility, or like somebody says, yeah, Obama's going to pay my mortgage or put gas in my car. Well, where do you think that money's coming from?
Well, another thing to do, real important, is when people start throwing numbers around, and I'm speaking specifically of Mr. Obama in this particular case, because he'll tell you, okay, well, we're doing extremely well nowadays. We've created 7 million jobs or something like that. What he doesn't tell you is we have created, and that's absolutely true. If you look it up, you'll find it's true. We've created 1.5 million jobs over the past 4 years or whatever it is. What he doesn't tell you is that we've lost 3.8 million jobs. We've lost twice as many jobs as we've created. We aren't keeping up. The situation is not getting better. It's not as bad as it was. That's is all the only difference it is. It's not better by any sense of the word. So pay attention to the numbers. They may be, you know, you can use numbers to say whatever you want to do unless you know what your numbers are mean. And you can find out what they mean. That's one thing where you can be an internet freak. You can be an internet nut if you want to. But it is important. That's where you can find out all this information. And look for it in four or five different places. Don't just go to one place and expect that to be God's honest truth, because chances are it may not be. And, you know, the Huffington Post, for example, is if you get all your news from the Huffington Post, you're in trouble, because that ain't necessarily the case. So find different places. If you have a newspaper, a local newspaper that you trust, perhaps you, even if it costs money to subscribe to it, and nowadays, you know, even the online versions of these newspapers are starting to cost a little bit of money. They're not much, but get to somebody you can trust and go to them and find out information from them. But you ought to even once you've found a newspaper that you can trust or a news source that you can trust, find out where they're getting their information, because they've got to put that on there too. And unless they're getting their information from the right place or doing your own research, you've got to do it two or three different places to find the information you're looking for. And don't make it the same places each time, because you may be falling in the same trap as everybody else does. So be careful.
Exactly. And also ask yourself the old question about follow the money. You know, like Obama's been making comments that Romney's going to go back to the Bush era and increase taxes and all the claims that he's making. Well, look it up. Find out has Romney made those comments. Is he, you know, check his website. Find out is that what he's really doing, or is this just accusations that he's making. You know, again, because Romney is a governor, a former governor, you know, again, you can check and see how he ran. Now, personally, Romney is not my first pick, but he is the only one running against Obama right now, so you only have a choice of two people. You know, I'm sorry, Ron Paul fans. I know that you would rather have Ron Paul, and the media made Ron Paul look like an idiot. Well, you know, what happened. By voting for Ron Paul now or writing in another candidate, you're just giving your vote to Obama, because either two things are going to happen. Either the popular vote's going to go that way, or the Electoral College is going to go that way, and we're going to be stuck with Obama again. And don't fall for his charm. You know, think of him as a used car salesman, and don't just take my word for it. Look it up. And a quick example I'll give you is like when Obamacare was first introduced. The hospitals were overrun with people going to the hospital to get their free health care. Not once was the word free mentioned regarding Obamacare.
Darn. Go ahead. I was saying so much for free, I tell you. I was just waiting for you to finish. I agree with you entirely. Let's face it. See, the thing is, when you have been in the position that he's been in, Obama, 4 years, you have a record. They can go back, and people can go back and look at your record and see what you've done and what you haven't done. Now, what he can do is he can say anything he wants to about Romney, because he doesn't have that record. He can make any kind of exaggerations that he wants to about what Romney will do and what Romney won't do. But when you sit back and think about it, if you look at what Romney has done, you know, he's run his own company. He's worked as a governor of a state, and he didn't destroy the state. The state is in better condition now than it ever has been. He actually ran the Olympics. Now, if you look at the Olympics and watch what – it wasn't just the United States Olympics. It was the National Olympics that he saved, not just one. And if you take a look and see what he did, and you can actually look it up and look at his record, and look at his record. Okay, you know, he couldn't have run Bain Capital. They say, well, you know, he went out and bought companies and then sold them and made money on it. Well, that's what you do when you have a company that does, you know, anything you do. You buy and sell and make money in the process, and that's the name of the game. That he was good at. And if he can be good at that in private business, he can be good at that in public business as well. And so we've got to do something that at least someone has a chance of being good at. Obama, we had nothing to go by. I won't say he didn't work. He did. He actually, but he went out and well. See, I don't have a real good view of Chicago. I don't like Chicago. Most of the bad things that have ever happened in our country ever have happened in Chicago, or at least started in Chicago. And unfortunately, Mr. Obama is one of those.
Exactly. And again, ask yourself the question, the other issue that's in the news today, or this week. SEIU paying Obama protesters $11 an hour to protest at Romney rallies. Say that three times fast. Now the question is, why is the union going through so much trouble? Ask yourself the question, what's in it for them?
Oh, well, because unions are a big thing. Obama supports the unions, and the unions are trying very hard to control what's going on. Unfortunately, they're losing. There are less people in the unions now than there have been for years, and it's going non-union fast. Things are not going the union's way because they want to control our lives, just like Obama wants to control our lives. And so they are very compatible, Obama and unions.
Well, that's true, but like, you know, again, like I'm saying, it's just you know, follow the money. Why are they really pushing? And this is for either side, Obama or Romney. For either side, ask yourself that question. What's in it for them? Because they're not doing it for the greater good of America. Same thing like some of the people that have been elected into office are not doing it for the greater good of America. Or maybe they started out that way, and a lot of them are walking away being millionaires.
Well, you know, with Obama, I mean, with the Romney, I believe it's the other way around. He is already a billionaire. He doesn't have to care about money. He doesn't care about money. He's more interested in doing something for the country. And I believe this is something that he was born into. His family was a part of that. His father felt like that, and it's been passed down to him. I don't believe that Romney is in this for what he's going to make out of it. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, he can say I was president, and that's probably the most important job in the world at this particular, even now, still one of the most important, it's the most important job in the world, although if we go for another 4 years of Obama presidency, it may not be. Things are fast dwindling as far as the importance of the U.S. is concerned. We're losing everything. We're losing our educational position. We're losing our business position. We're losing everything. And that's, I think, one thing. One of the things are many things that Romney can repair.
Well, and to get back to the thing about they're counting on voters to not being informed. If you go to TheBlaze.com, or just do a search for Howard Stern and Man on the Street, you'll see the video. I don't have it queued up, so I'm not gonna play it sight unseen, so to speak. But a summary of it is, one of the things that Howard Stern asked, among other things, is was, you know, should we take Bin Laden and put him under trial, and should we keep him in jail forever? And people were in denial that he was dead. They also commented that Romney is pro-choice, Obama is pro-life, and Paul Ryan is Obama's running mate.
People are paying attention, and people, that's why I say over and over again, use the Internet. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It can be a bad thing and a good thing. But in reality, there can be nothing bad about the Internet, because it can only be bad if you make it bad. There's so many good things that you can find on the Internet, and so many informative things that you can find on the Internet. But you have to take it with some intelligence. You have to you find more than one source for almost absolutely everything. Don't just listen to one source. That's, you know, just like you wouldn't listen to one source for all of your information. One friend who has a certain opinion about something doesn't necessarily make your opinion the same. So consequently, pay attention to what you're seeing and use your own brain as to whether it's right or wrong or indifferent. And, you know, if you see six persons saying X, it means X and X means two. But if you see one person saying X and X means three, pay attention. Four to one, there's got to be some reason why the four people say it's one way and one person that says it's another way, and that doesn't make the one person necessarily right.
That's true, and same thing with the debates coming up. I'm going to bet, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to watch the debates. Unfortunately, my schedule doesn't allow me to do it, but I will bet that if there's a game going on or some reality TV show, that's going to be picked over the presidential debates. And that's either because, you know, they're not interested or they've already picked their candidate. They don't want to hear anything else.
Well, I was under the impression that the debate is going to be run on all channels, so you don't have anything else.
Well, there's lots of channels out there and lots of ways to watch them. And then, of course, you know, with the computer, you can watch anything you want to. But that's my feeling. You know, just the same reason that during 9/11, during the event, people were complaining to the TV stations because their shows are being preempted, even though, you know, minor things, and, you know, the country's under attack by terrorists, but, you know, don't interrupt my show.
Yeah,
so I want to know who's going to get the news up. That's more important.
I can see that, because they did go a little bit carried away, you know, I agree with it. I was stuck watching it, but they did continue on airing that information about the 9/11 situation for 2 days. They didn't just do it once and then let it go and maybe reiterate it on another newscast. They went on and on and on and on. The networks have a tendency to exaggerate things to the point that they don't know what they're saying. They'll you know, John said yes, Joe said no, and then we'll sit down and discuss it for 5 hours as to who was right, who was wrong, whether John should have said no and Joe should have said yes, or, you know, they don't I'm sorry, I think they get carried away myself. You know, they could have done that, and if anything new had come up to interrupt your program, that would have been upsetting too, but at least you'd have gotten most of your ball game or whatever it was that you were trying to watch. To completely obliterate the fact that there was a ball game going on, because it doesn't stop. The ball game goes whether they like it or not, but whether they air it or not is another story. So I have in a way I can agree with the people who were disturbed about missing their program or their ball game or whatever it was that they were missing, because it doesn't need to be discussed and cussed over and over and over again to a point of absurdity, as the networks do.
Yeah, but in this particular case, we didn't know if the attack was over or not. I mean, there could be a second wave or whoever, but the whole point is that it's been a long time since this country's borders, well, since the country was actually attacked, and a lot of people didn't take it seriously, because I guess we're, you know, like what I call, we're in a bubble wrap society. We don't think anything can hurt us or you know, the rest of the world. We're just totally immune from it.
I think it's really very, very fortunate, and I'm very happy that we are that way, in a way, because, in other words, it's been so long since we've had anything damage or hurt us or get to us. That means that somebody's doing something right. And I don't know, you know, I sit back and I watch the news and see what Obama's doing and how Obama is keeping track of what's going on. And nowadays, he's keeping track of everything by phone. He's relying on somebody to pay attention to what's going on and then phoning him if anything's wrong. He isn't paying attention. He doesn't go back to base one, to Washington, D.C., or wherever he wants to go to get the information. He just continues on doing his campaigning and this and that and the other. I'm very upset about what's going on in our government today. and what's paying attention.
And speaking of paying attention, we have 30 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887 on this topic or anything else that you have on your mind. And Cliff, if you have anything else, I'd like to wrap up this session and try something a little different, if that's okay with you.
Okay, you go right ahead.
Okay. Uh-huh. A couple of weeks ago, lights just dimmed. I'm sorry, Bill Gates. I didn't mean to put you down. A couple of weeks ago, we had a really good caller that called in. He has his own blog talk show called Truth Radio News with Brian Lang. And we've had some emails exchanged. And one of the things we've thought about trying is being a guest on each other's show. We haven't tried this feature yet. So I think, what do you think, Cliff? Shall we get daring and see if the computer god loves us?
If you want to. Can't do any more than just throw us off the air.
That's true.
You never can tell.
Well, let's see what happens here. So we're dialing in.
Gee, we don't even.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please...
Unfortunately, I don't have a keypad. So that's... Also, folks, this is one of the new features that the Blog Talk Radio has included, where you can dial out to another number. So I just have to wait for him to open up the mic here and say hello. But
well, if you haven't dialed the number one, he doesn't even know you're there yet.
Out basically, and I say, why not? The more the merrier. The more ways to get the message out and get the truth out. The reality underneath the honesty is just fine with me, and they are calling in now, and each and every Monday I think we are going to do this. We're going to see how it works, see what happens. But here is another radio broadcast, KRBN News, with Cliff and Robin.
Unmuted.
Hello.
Hey, Brian,
this
how's it
is
going?
Brian Lang with Live Truth Radio. It's going great. Is this Robin?
This is Robin, and Cliff is on the other line here.
Okay, great. Now, are you able to hook it up with your broadcast as well? Because you have a broadcast at 4 p.m., I believe, right?
Yes, we are on.
We are live now. We've got 30 minutes remaining in our program. So.
Well, you might want to extend it. I mean,
what's our subject?
There's a lot. Well, hey, my radio broadcast, I talk of what's on my mind. I bring the people the news. I tell them the news. And then I go with what's on my mind. And what's on my mind is I had a discussion yesterday. Somebody called into my show, and he was an Obama lover. At first, he tried to say that I asked him if he supported Obama, and he came back with, you know, I don't want to play that. I don't play that politics thing. And then later, it was true to be that he was an Obama supporter, and I called him out on that. I said, listen, before you said you didn't want to play politics, now you are absolutely touting Obama. Why is it that you support Obama? And he would not come back with an answer. And he started going off on the Zionist Jews. And that's when I shut him down, because he was saying that I was a racist because of the things I was saying. I was speaking truth. Okay? I was speaking truth. We got a debate that's coming up here. We got a debate this Wednesday, folks, where you got only two people that are being propped up as the products, okay, of the mainstream media, of the corporate elite. The two products that they are offering you are Romney and Obama. Although there are other two that are running that I know of underneath the Constitutional Party and also the Libertarian Party. But no, they don't want you to see them. They don't want you to hear what they have to say. And I'm not saying they're better. I'm just saying we are a country with the First Amendment right of free speech. And for them to not allow the other people that are actually running into those debates, that is squelching the First Amendment right.
Is Romney going to give me a free phone or put gas in my car or pay for my mortgage?
You know what? He probably is not. He's probably going to put your ass to work.
Good. That would be nice. The thing is, at this particular point, we've got two people that are involved. We don't know who the other two or three or four people are. The other people are. How do we find out about them?
How do you find out about them? I think you know the answer to that. You just type in Constitutional Party. I found out yesterday. Because I really didn't know who the one or two are that are going to be running as underneath the Constitution Party. And all I did was punch in Constitution Party in the internet, and bingo bango, there it was. It took you to the Constitutional Party, and the one is Good and Clymer are the ones that are running within the Constitution Party. And the National Veterans Coalition, from what I take on their website, support them. It's funny. National Veterans Coalition, support them. That speaks volumes to me.
Well, of course, who is the National Veterans? I mean, because they can be anything. This is the problem I have on the internet, is because they can call themselves anything they want to. It could be some guy in a closet in Hoboken and doing all of this information that means nothing. You don't know
if they're disinformation.
It could be. Could be very well. I don't know because I haven't looked at it. But you've got to pay attention to where the information is coming from, and that's not easy to do.
Well, if you that's the whole thing, though. You've got to look up everything about these people that are running, even the ones that they're propping up as the products that they want you to vote on, Romney and Obama. Now, I have plenty to say about the two, Romney and also Obama. I have plenty to say about both of them, especially Obama, you know. But is it too late to get the word out? Are you guys Obama supporters?
Well, it doesn't make any difference whether we are or not, because the simple fact of the matter is, how do we get more information about the other people and that are available to run? Because everybody seems to be tight-lipped on the subject. Nobody wants to give us information. I mean, on television, you can see information about the two main runners, but they never, ever give you any information about the other people who are running. Do we need to change our system so that it is required by the broadcasters or by whomever to give us the information on everybody who is involved?
Hey, that's what I was explaining at the beginning there. I mean, you got these two people. You got Romney and you got Obama that are being propped up as the two for us here in America to vote on, yet there are two other parties, the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party with Gary Johnson. They are not even allowed or not being thought of for this debate. Why is that? That is an infringement on our First Amendment right. That is definitely an infringement on their First Amendment right, because they are running for the presidency of the United States. Shouldn't their words be heard? Shouldn't we as Americans be able to listen to what they have to say? But no, the system has it to where we don't.
Well,
I just like
as we see it now, who's going to pay for that? Somebody has to pay for putting that information out there. Do they have the money to pay for that? And because you know Romney and Obama are paying millions and millions of dollars to get their information out there. Is there any way that these other people can put that information on the? I don't care
Wait. Who is putting on these debates? it's not the two people that are running. Other people are actually funding these debates. That's why you have in the Republican debates, they were either CNN, they were Fox, they were MSNBC's debates. Those guys are the ones that are funding it because, hey, guess what? They get paid on their advertising. They get paid on the advertising, and they invited certain people to those debates, okay? They allowed certain people to those debates. So they're being paid for by the media as far as to put on these debates. Are they not?
I agree with that. So let's look at this a little more carefully. The the Libertarian Party and the Constitution Party, if they've got people running, if we open this up for everybody, in other words, the public debates that are being put on, we'll say, are being paid for by the government or being paid by with the government, if that's the case, why would we open them up? Because what criteria are we going to have to say who can be in and who isn't? There'd be 50,000 people forming their own party and wanting to be a part of that debate then at the end of the year.
No, sir. You know, and I know as well, that in order to be on the ballot, you have to have a certain amount of signatures within each state across the nation. And if you can't get up those signatures within each state, to be on the ballot as president of the United States, you aren't on there. These people have evidently gotten up enough signatures within the states in order to be on the ballot. Not everybody can do that. So that puts that whole argument out the window.
Okay, I'll go along with that. So then maybe we should just vote. We should change our system to how we elect people, how we get the information out there. We need to change our system as to who can run, who can't run. I mean, we have a major problem here with the amount of dollars that the two major candidates have spent on getting where they are. We need to put a limit on that. Maybe I don't remember. It's billions of dollars that they've spent on advertising to do what they need to do. Should we put a limit on that?
I believe that's a good idea. I mean, I believe that's a great idea, because then you wouldn't have the people like George Soros being able to influx his money to sway the minds of Americans when he has ultimately said that he wants to take down America and America's economy. He's already taken down four different societies of their economy, and he has stated that his next goal is to take down America, and he just got finished influxing over $4 million, $1 million to $4 million, somewhere in there, into Obama's candidacy, into his campaign.
Of course, we still at this particular point, I believe that Romney has still raised more money than Obama has, as far as that part is concerned. But the last month, it wasn't that case. But the amount of money has got a huge amount to do with it. And no matter what we do, we don't have a way to prove that this guy has not given the money to somebody else to donate for him. I mean, how can we keep track of exactly where the money comes from?
Hey, how can we?
I don't know. The point is
that's a very good question. How can we?
We don't need to find out where it comes from. We just need to limit it how much it can be. And if it comes from various different places, even if there's a lie as to where it comes from, at least it can't be traced back to him. Let's hope. Now, if that's the case, are we doomed? Is he going to get his way, like it or not, if he has to spread his money around? I mean, he may end up with what he likes or doesn't like. So we better go after it a different way rather than what propaganda that he's putting out. Perhaps we better find a different way of getting information.
I agree totally. Robin, okay. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to jump in here real quick. We got 15 minutes remaining in our program, and you can call us at 646-721-9887. Right now we're live with Brian Lang on the Truth Radio News, and you can call his program right now at 949 949- 972-942-9418 if you'd like to get in on this conversation. So pick up the phone, give us a call right now at either one of those two numbers, and let us know what you think. One of the things I wanted to throw out there, kind of going back a little bit to the candidates, is going back to Ross Perot. As you know, he took, in the beginning, he took off pretty good. But the problem with a third-party candidate, which I think is a failing in our system, is he got zero electoral votes. And unfortunately, it's the Electoral College which actually elects the president, not the popular vote.
Mm-hmm. You got a point. You got in my chat here, somebody come up with, Matt actually came up with something here. And if you can, he says, cap on the donations, which we were just talking about. I believe that's a great idea. And if you can't afford to run by your own pocket, if you can't afford to run by your own pocketbook, then you don't run. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do believe in a cap. You
yeah,
know,
there's
a
some
cap
great
on the donations, a cap on the amount of money that your campaign is allowed to have.
Agreed. There, I mean, there's a lot of great people out there that would do really good, but they just can't afford to run.
How is it? Well, but still, it's just like Cliff just said earlier, though. How are we going to keep track of that money, though? I mean, he was talking about where that money comes from, but how are we going to keep track of that money? Who's to say that, you know, they might open up a different organization with an umbrella name, and that money actually is funneled into that campaign?
No,
you know, even knowing there's a cap, even knowing there's a cap, this other umbrella is being used for his campaign too.
Right. No, that's the thing. When you're talking about big money, they'll do anything to win.
Yep. And that's that globalist corporate system that we do have. Yeah.
See,
what,
no,
what about the bias in media?
Well, the bias in media is a complete fallacy if we make sure they all run the same thing. Basically, we need to make the debates themselves being funded federally. We need to make more and more things that are information bearing funded federally. So there's no possible. See, I don't believe that. For example, Romney is in this for the money. I mean, he has money. He doesn't need to be in it for the money.
Yeah, I mean, we can all agree with that. He's made tons of money on his own through his family and everything that he has been doing. That's for sure. He don't need the money from presidency. He's going to get paid a lot less to be a president if elected. So, yeah, he's going in it, not for the money.
But it's a good question.
That should be a no-brainer. What do you think the strengths are for Romney compared to Obama, these two products that are being propped up in front of us?
Well, I wish Romney would kind of hit us a little bit stronger. I was hoping that when Ryan came in the mix, that it would be a good boost to do it. I mean, Romney's got a really good heart, and he likes doing everything honest, but this is dirty pool. I hate to say it.
Okay. Cliff?
Cliff, are you back? No, he dropped out momentarily. We've been having trouble with Skype today.
Okay. Well, here's my take on it. Here's my take on it. During the Republican debates, I could see from the beginning that they were just propping up Romney. Romney did not win any of those debates. None of them. Not one single debate. He was not strong on any issue that he spoke about, but yet they advanced him through the ranks as being the presidential candidate on the RNC side. Now,
right.
Now, with that said, thinking of the media bias and the corporate nature of all this, the media, the corporate, the global elites, and all this, to me, it looks as though they put up a product that is very weak compared to Obama in their hopes of Obama winning. They put the weakest candidate that they could. I mean, why wouldn't they choose Newt Gingrich? Would have been a very strong debater against Obama. Very strong. Instead, they put somebody in there that already had a plan, like Romney Care, that he did in Massachusetts. You know? They put a person up there that is fairly weak as far as debating. It's fairly weak as far as a candidate, I think. Not fairly weak as far as business. I think that's one of the reasons why they put him up there is because he has a business background, and we need our economy, we need a boost in our economy here in America. All right? I think that's one of the reasons why they posted him up there. But he is the weaker of all candidates. He wasn't even as strong as Michelle Bachmann. Whoa, what's that noise? He wasn't even as strong as Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, well, you make an excellent point. And, I mean, Romney did kind of get in there too easy. But I don't know. The whole thing is just kind of weird. And what's really sad is that I think Obama's going to get in because of like you said earlier, the news media is masking things, like with the recent MSNBC little Saturday night jig they try to do during the Romney Ryan little get together where they blank out the audio and then the free Obama phones and what can we give you to vote for me type of an attitude.
Yeah. I mean, the media is all over this, and they want their man Obama to win no matter what. The only one that is slacking as far as Obama supporting is Fox News. And that's why I support, even though Fox News has their own agenda, and you can tell that by different broadcasts that you see on there, at least they are bringing it, as I can tell, more balance, because they do have those Democratic people on their shows where they can have the back and forth with them as well. And what is that noise? Are you outside?
No, I don't know.
It sounds like wind is going through the mic.
Am I back here again?
I think you're back, but call in on the oh, there it goes. Okay. Guys, you called in on the conference line, so.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been I think because we started the show talking about Bill Gates, and I think we're being punished for it.
Oh, you did? You started talking about, on your show, Bill Gates?
Yeah. We mentioned it because we were talking about the iPhone 5 and the lack of Google Maps and whatnot. So.
iPhone 5 has to do with Bill Gates. Talking about Apple.
Mr.
Something's going on with the audio there. As far as Cliff is concerned, something's going on with the audio on his side.
Yeah, Cliff,
can you
back
speak
on
a little bit there, Cliff?
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Am I back?
It's
well,
really
I heard
strange.
That. I don't know what.
Yeah, call back on the listener line, Cliff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about Mr. Bates, though? Mr. Genocidal Bates himself for the elimination of many people from the face of the earth. What about that with Bates?
Well, like what we were talking about, since most of the world depends on Microsoft, all it would take is something to be in there or an update that comes through and just tells all the computers to shut down, and we're in big trouble.
Well, I was just looking at all the different executive orders last night that Obama had in there, and the one was completely, it's about taking over our communications, inside and out, you know, everything about our communications. And, all his executive orders that he has signed, the unconstitutional nature of them, for one, but you can see like a stair step of what's to come. You know, all this happening in the Middle East, all this that has happened in the Middle East and him downplaying what has happened over there and not even being able to say it was a terror attack there at the UN. But all his executive orders, you can see what they're, what's going to be coming to fruition here in the future. Just like this, why should he need for the federal government? I worked in the service, and I was taken to the flight line by a guy that was in communications. He can tap into any, just on the tarmac there in New Jersey, he could tap into any phone line he wanted to anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Okay? Why is it that they need to be able to take over our communications, the internet, our phones,
well,
and everything?
This morning on our program, I closed the screen, that wiretaps, cell phone, computers, and such is up 60% since the Obama regime. So I've already closed that screen.
What?
I don't have the figures. The amount of shopping by equipment.
You asked if he should take over our communications. It's very important because he's going to learn a lot of things about what's life like in the world if he listens to this particular program. He's going to learn a lot of things he perhaps didn't know. He should listen to our program all the time.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, I've been told that they have. I even think that I had a plant yesterday from his campaign on my show. I believe that they are tracking what we're doing here on Blog Talk Radio, our different shows, especially if we are against everything that he's been doing, which I am, and I've stated loudly. You know, I'm sure that they are trolling around and finding out what they can find out. But you know what? The caller that I had yesterday, you guys might want to go back to the On Demand and check out. It's right at the 20-minute mark or something like that. 28-minute, 20-minute, somewhere in there, where this guy called in. And he first accused me of being a racist because, you know, I don't particularly like Obama. And then he started going off on hating these Zionist Jews. But just by him stating that, he is the person that should be on that list for being a terrorist, not our returning veterans. What do you guys think?
Exactly.
Yeah,
by the way,
we're down
to the last 2 minutes here. You want to give a quick plug for your show, Brian, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up.
You didn't extend it?
No.
Wow, I would have extended it, man. But anyhow, yeah, my show is Live Truth Radio, where I bring you truth, the reality underneath the honesty, each and every day, Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. and once on Sunday. All my guests, all my callers, all my people in chat know that I bring truth, the reality underneath the honesty, just like the caller that I had yesterday. I brought truth to him, and he backed down. You know, that's what it's all about, informing the public, letting them know what actually is going on. That's what I'm here for.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining. You want to plug yours before you leave?
Go ahead, Cliff.
Oh, but certainly we are bringing truth to at least in our version of it. You can start. We are here every day at every Monday at 1 o'clock, and on Blog Talk Radio and KRBNRadio.com, either one, if you'd like to join us and talk about anything you want to talk about. We'll talk about anything, but we have our own version of the truth, I guess.
Yeah, and our version of the truth right now is that we're out of time. Brian, again, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week. And
okay.
Everybody, thanks for listening.
It's been nice. Thanks a lot. And it's 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern, correct?
Well, yes, that's right.
Right.
Keep forgetting this. The rest of the world is...
All right.
Okay, and we're we had to cut it short here. Again, thanks to Brian at... Truth Radio, Live Truth Radio. Check him out. We'll put a link later on the show. And if you enjoyed the crossover between the programs, let us know. Talk at KRBNRadio.com. Again, thank you, Cliff. Thanks for everybody that tuned in. And we'll be back again next Monday. Remember, the first debates are Wednesday. Check them out. And do your research, people. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.